Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every god I do.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us.
I do think that people are being converted to craft beer at a high rate. It's one of the sectors of the economy that's grown through the recession.
Today's guest is Jamie Ashton. Jamie is one of the co-owners of Humboldt Beer Works, and today we're going to talk about beer making. How did you get started in beer making in the first place?
Well, I wanted to brew beer and learn how to brew beer for a long time before I actually did. One day I was talking to a friend who decided he wasn't going to drink beer anymore, and he was a home brewer. So he just kind of gave me all his equipment and walked me through my first two batches, and that's the way I got started.
Is it something you did in your house or in the garage or something?
I started off in the kitchen, but pretty quickly moved to the garage, firstly because my wife didn't really like me in the kitchen, but also because it takes a long time to boil 6 gallons of water on your stove at home. So I got a propane burner and moved out into the garage.
And then how did you meet Josh?
When I first moved here, I was searching online for a homebrew club because I'd been involved in one in Seattle where I lived before. And there didn't seem to be anything. There was a Facebook page for something that I couldn't figure out if it was a club or not a club. So I contacted them. Josh was the creator of that page. And they said, well, we're not really a club. We're just a Facebook page. We're all from the Arcata, Eureka area. I said, well, I'm moving there. Let's start meeting.
Uh-huh.
And so we did.
Oh, okay. So he was involved in the club itself.
Yeah, it was just a Facebook club. They had never met, but he created the Facebook page because he was a home brewer and wanting to be in contact with other home brewers.
And so when you got together with the club, then eventually you guys developed a relationship and realized that you wanted to move this on to somewhere else between the two of you.
Yeah, you know, the thing that I heard the most from people was that it was really annoying not having a local homebrew supply shop. And I discovered that myself, being a home brewer with no local shop around. You have to order online. If you don't have stuff stocked up, you can't just say, oh, I want to brew today. Uh-huh. You have to order your ingredients and wait for them to come in the mail. Homebrewing is, in some respects, you want to be able to do that. You want to be able to say, oh, I have a day off or I have some time. I'm going to do a batch.
Right. It seems like it takes so much time anyway that additional time waiting for your supplies to come in so you can get started might just be the thing that keeps you from doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what sorts of materials do you carry that you have found that people need over time?
Well, there are two types of brewing. There's extract brewing, and that's a more of a beginner way of brewing where you buy this dry malt powder or this liquid extract and add that to water and boil it. And for that, you need that extract. It's made basically out of unfermented beer, which is called wort, and it's dehydrated in some way and then packaged and sent to homebrew supply stores. We also sell a lot of grain, and you can make beer out of just grain. You know, you have to mash it and then rinse the sugars out. And then you need hops, you need yeast, and then we also carry the cleaning supplies and the sanitizing supplies, some equipment. We carry kettles, beginner kits.
If someone's new, would a kit be the good way to go?
Yeah, probably. And it's got everything you need. You can assemble the things you need from Craigslist, people, you know, not brewing anymore. But it's a nice way to just, here it is. This is everything you need to brew your first batch. It's convenient.
And then you also teach beer making classes. And is that a good way to get started? Or would you suggest that somebody, you know, try to brew maybe a couple batches first before taking a beer making class?
I think a class is a good first step.
Okay.
It depends on how familiar you are with chemistry and related topics. But you can buy a book and read through a book. There's a lot of information online, YouTube videos. And a lot of people start because they have a friend who's done it and they brew with their friend a couple times before they try it on their own. But if you don't have something like that to get you through the beginning, I think a class is a good way to go. You can buy books that have recipes. The one that we sell a lot in the shop is called Brewing Classic Styles. And it's got a recipe for every classic beer style in the world in it. There's lots of information online. You kind of have to pick and choose through those to find the good ones. You know, try and find something on a forum that has comments saying, I brewed this and this was great, or I brewed this and I'd probably change this. There are magazines too. Zymergy magazine is put out by the American Homebrewers Association. And if you're a member, you get one with your membership. There's a magazine called BYO, Brew Your Own. And they usually have at least a couple recipes every month.
What are the main ingredients that are in beer?
You need a fermentable, first of all. And you either get that with the extract where it's the sugar, the fermentable has been created for you from the grain. And some people use the grain to get it. You have to convert the starches in the grain to sugar and then wash it out. And that's done just by holding it at a certain temperature and at a certain pH for a period of time. Once you have your fermentable wort, you need to boil it for about an hour, add some hops along the way, and then you need yeast to ferment the sugars into alcohol and CO2.
What do the hops do? I had read a little bit about them, that it increases the alcohol content.
No, hops, they're used to add bittering and flavor and aroma. They're also preservative, they prolong shelf life. If you add your hops at the beginning of your boil, the first 30, 45 minutes, you extract alpha acid. It's what makes beer bitter. Okay. If you add it in the last 15 minutes or if you add it afterwards, like an IPA or a pale ale, they'll dry hop it afterwards while it's fermenting. Those later addition boil hops and the dry hops add a flavor and an aroma, but no bitterness.
Some people seem like they like the more bitter flavors.
Yeah, it's like food. You know, some people like really intense, flavorful food. Some people like it. Step back a bit. You know, light beers versus dark beers. It's kind of all over the board.
Yeah. I was reading a little bit about beer, the history of beer, and they were talking about during Prohibition, there was a lot of bootlegging of beer in that sometimes the bootleggers would water down the beer, which kind of led to this country having more of a taste for a lighter beer, which kind of explains some of the beers that you see that are commercially produced.
Right.
Do you think that's kind of changing? People are getting a more of a complex palate?
I think so. Craft beer seems to be, you know, growing. It's one of the sectors of the economy that's grown through the recession. So I think some people really like those light beers, and that's just what they're going to drink, and they don't like a lot of flavor in their beer. But I do think that people are being converted to craft beer at a high rate.
What about the fermentation? I've heard of a two-stage fermentation process. What is that?
Some people will ferment their primary fermentation in one vessel. And once fermentation has gone most of the way through, they'll transfer into a second vessel to finish the fermentation, but also to clarify the beer. Time and temperature are a homebrewer's filter, and those things will drop the yeast and any other proteins and whatnot out of the beer so that you get a nice, clear, bright beer. Another reason for doing that is because people will use a larger bucket to ferment their beer in, and fermentation is very active, creates a lot of foam and bubbles. And if you have 5 gallons of beer in a 5 gallon carboy, you'll foam out the top.
Oh, okay.
And so they'll do their primary fermentation in the bucket that is usually 6.5 gallons, sometimes 8, and then transfer into their 5 gallon bucket for the rest of fermentation that's not quite so active.
Oh, okay.
I kind of stopped doing that a long time ago, and I just ferment all the way through in 1 6.5 gallon carboy because I realized that I was increasing my chances of infection and oxygen pickup, which can stale your beer.
Okay. Well, these are all interesting ideas. I'd like to come back and talk to you again next week and find out more about beer making.
Sure. Sounds good.
This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Jamie Ashton. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Come on to my house, and my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every kind of do.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.